Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
You can tell it's the first day of school. Everybody is asleep right now. I walked in. You can tell who the teachers are. They're leaning against the walls, and teachers in here, they're a little slouched back. And it's been a good first day for everybody. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for first day of school. Amen. I'm excited. It's going to be a good school year. Excited. And we're going to talk to you tonight.
Yes. Tonight we want to talk to you. Just about, you know, right now, you know, there's an all-out war for this generation. And I know you guys recognize that. You know, the enemy always has had a concerted effort to come against our kids. And so tonight, we're just going to talk about a fight plan. We just want to give you a fight plan to win.
It's a fight plan, and we thought it was good because it's right here at the beginning of the school year. We're right really kind of in the middle of kind of a back-to-school kind of a theme over the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had a back-to-school giveaway where we gave away a ton of supplies, backpacks, school supplies, that kind of a thing. Last week, we had Lana Vasquez, who was really the head of one of the main missions that we support as a church, and all the good work that they do, help rescuing and helping kids in their part of the world over in Thailand and Burma area. This coming Sunday, we have Back to School Blessing, where we're going to have time on Sunday morning, both services, to pray over everybody in the school system. So if you're a teacher, you're in administration, you're a student, wherever you fall into that, we're going to pray over everyone and just really start the school year off right on Sunday morning. So if that's you, you fall into that category, you know somebody in that category, bring them to church on Sunday morning. We're going to have a good time. And then the week after that, what are we doing?
We have Three Little Pigs. Just super fun, super exciting. Is a full-out illustrated series, it's a sermon day. It's just one day, August 19th. And kids will be in here. The Three Little Pigs will be here. The Big Bad Wolf will be here. Pigs are going to dance.
Can I audition?
Awesome.
Can I be a pig?
Sure.
I can dance?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna audition. I'm going to be the middle one. And if it's good, then that was me. And if it wasn't good, it was somebody else. You'll never know because it's under costume. So, but that's in 2 weeks, Three Little Pigs. But tonight, you've got us. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't know us, we are Patrick. My name's Patrick Donahue. This is my beautiful wife, Tiffany. And we're both on staff here at the church. And we're just going to share what she was talking about a moment ago, that fight plan. And it'd probably be easier if I just sat down and let her sing the whole thing. We kind of kid each other. You know, it's not about numbers. Say that out loud. Say, it's not about numbers. But sometimes it's about numbers. And we as a staff, we kind of divvy up morning prayer. And Tiffany recently, I don't know, does anybody watch morning prayer? Anybody on morning prayer? If you're not, if you don't know what that is, we have morning prayer Monday, every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. We'll have it tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. Every Monday through Friday. And we get on our Facebook page, and you can be a part of it. You can just kind of listen, pray along, worship along sometimes, and just while you're getting ready, or maybe you don't have something to do that morning, you can kind of just get on and interact if you got prayer requests, anything like that. But so the number thing. So Tiffany, she started on Wednesday. She had to one-up everybody, right? We can't just pray. She's got to sing and pray. And so we noticed, like, the first couple of weeks, like Pastor Brian, sometimes he'll do it on Tuesday, and I'll do it on Monday. And I was just like looking at the view count. I'm like, Pastor Brian, me and you combined, she beat us both on Wednesday. Like, what's going on? So, I know, right? So I know y'all would just probably rather her sing instead of me being up here talking to you. But maybe you'll sing. Are you gonna sing? Maybe not sing.
Probably
not tonight.
Probably not.
But next time she does prayer on in the morning, she'll be singing. So sometimes we're praying, sometimes we're singing. Whatever we're doing, we do it every Monday through Friday at 6:30. So if you're not a part of morning prayer, you should totally be a part of that. Check that out. But tonight we are gonna talk about that fight plan. And I do love it because it appeals and applies to parents. And really, you might be saying, well, I'm not a parent. I don't have kids, or my kids are a little bit older. I'm not in that season. You know, to parent, you know, you first have to be the example, right? if you, whatever example that you're trying to show for those kids. So maybe it's just you. Maybe you're trying to parent yourself. So tonight, it's going to help you, and it'll apply to you and help you a little bit tonight too. And so what I do here at the church, Tiffany's over worship, and what I do, I'm over finances. I'm also over a portion of our kids ministry. So that's kindergarten through fifth grade, just that portion of the kids ministry. And what I love to talk to kids and new kids about and parents and new parents about is I always love to share the story of Jesus at the temple courts. And you may have heard me share this story before, but basically the summation, a quick version of it is Jesus and Joseph and Mary, they go to the great banquet in Jerusalem, and it's time for them to leave. They leave, they get outside of the city gates, the city limits, and then Joseph and Mary, they realize that they had lost track of Jesus. Now, just for a side note, just as a married man, I like to think about what's not in Scripture and the actual conversation that took place between the married couple that, you know, it's like, because I know the conversation we're going to have if I forget to unload the dishwasher. And but you think about Joseph and Mary, it's like, okay, you remember the Son of Man, the miracle from heaven, Savior of the world, I lost him. And so I kind of think to myself, you know, I think it's funny to think about when they ride back into the city gates, like one is on one camel, and then there's like 100 yards back, here comes the other one on the other camel because they need, you know, they need a little bit of space. And but when they finally make it back, What do they do? They find Jesus. Is he on Xbox? Is he playing on Facebook, anything like that? No, he's at the temple courts, the Bible says. And the Bible says he's listening and he's asking questions. And the men around were amazed. And so if he's at the temple courts, he's hanging out and around the theologians, the pastors, the teachers of the day, right? And I've heard Pastor Brian give a visual to this. It's almost like spiritual ping pong. So he's listening and he's asking questions, and the men around were amazed. And so he's holding his own. He's talking about something theological, and he's getting retorts and getting other questions asked to him, and he's giving responses with these theologians of the day, and he's holding his own, and they were amazed. And the best part about all of that is that Jesus is 12 years old during that time. So I love I love that story because it's a great example that we can let our kids know that they can make a difference right now. They don't have to wait until they graduate something or get a degree from something or get approved or someone's approval about something before they can be effective. In God's kingdom, it says, hey, they can be effective right now. They can be game changers right now in church. They can be game changers in the household. They can be game changers at school. And so I love what it says in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 4:14, if you want to write that verse down, it's a great encouraging scripture right there about not being afraid. And I love that. I think it's applicable in this time of year, right? It's new school year, and there can be some fear that can kind of creep in, some doubt, some stress that can kind of creep its way in there if you'll allow it. And just real quick, not Nehemiah, but another scripture that comes to my mind when I think about fear and being afraid is the best scripture I know to combat that is it says, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So anytime stress or doubt or anxiety comes against you, you can know, hey, that's not of God. That's not God's plan for my life. I've been given a sound mind. And that kind of reiterates that. A portion of that in Nehemiah 4:14, it says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And, I've heard Joyce Meyer, you know, she talks about, you know, even when you're afraid, do it afraid. You know, even if you feel that fear creep in, you know, even if you don't feel it go away physically, you know, in that moment, still do it afraid. And remember why you're fighting. You're fighting for yourself, your family, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes, all of those things. And I think we've got some good stuff to learn how to fight for our families tonight.
Yeah, tonight we want to give you just things that you can apply to your life to help you fight for a generation. We as a church, we're fighting for a generation. And, you know, there is a war going on. But how many of you know the war is over? We've already won. God's already defeated the enemy. So we're already on the other side of that. But we still have to fight, and we have to be on guard. And, you know, this war between generations, it started, with generations and the devil. It started, you know, way back in the very beginning. It started in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve, they were deceived by the serpent. They fell prey to the devil in that moment. But in chapter 2, we see that. We see that the enemy comes in right after God created everything. The enemy comes in and tries to pull away people from God. And in that moment, it happened to work for a temporary time. But, you know, God got angry at the serpent, and he cursed the serpent. And what he said is in Genesis 3:15, this is God speaking. He's speaking to the serpent. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So basically, God's saying there, you know, to the serpent, he's saying, you know, there's going to be a war between you and the kids and future generations, but they're going to crush your head. They've already defeated you. They're going to crush your head. And that's so encouraging because it's like, we've already won this thing. Like, we're already victors in this. But the calling on our generation, the calling on our young people, the calling on us, you know, we're not meant to be statistics. So many times we see, you know, all the negativity around the world. We see what our generations, what the young people are faced with now. And, you know, we're not meant to be statistics. Our kids aren't meant to be statistics. They're not meant to fall prey to the devil like we see so much of. But instead, God has raised up a generation, and he's currently raising up a generation that's going to crush the devil's head. No, the devil wants to stop kids. And, you know, we hear Pastor Brian talking a lot about here at our church, we invest in kids. We know that kids are important. We invest in our kids' ministry, in our youth ministry. We know that they are important, and we want to help them win. We want to help you win as parents. We want to help you win as leaders, as teachers, and we want to help you win in your everyday life. So tonight, we're going to give you that fight plan. We're going to give you the four principles to help you fight for your kids, fight for your grandkids, and just fight for everybody in your life.
That's right. All right, so number one, if you're taking notes, we love note takers. Fight plan, number one thing we can do is right relationships. Say right relationships. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Right relationships. And Proverbs 13:20, and I love this one. And I'm reading out of the Message. This is a great translation. Proverbs 13:20, it says this. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools. Oh, man. And watch your life fall to pieces. And I'll read that again. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Right relationships. Man, relationships matter. And I don't know, you know, Pastor Brian, he says it all the time. You know, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You start to think, make that personal for yourself. You think about maybe some rocky times in your life. You feel like, man, this is a time I was really going uphill, battling uphill. I've really kind of, you know, really having a tough go of it. Start to think about who you surrounded yourself with during that period of time. What did you surround yourself with? Who did you expose yourself to? What kind of situations did you expose yourself to? Man, you start to think about it. It's like, man, I was probably around the wrong crowd. I didn't need those guys, those girls, that crowd in my life. And man, so relationships matter. They matter for us. They matter for our kids, right? And so as a parent, man, you know, we've got a 4-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl. So we're at the beginning stages. So we're not at some of the older stages yet. You know, some of the things that we have to, the older parents, parents of older children have to deal with. But I don't just let anybody have a voice into my kid's life. Not just anybody can just be an authority figure to my kids. And that's a tone setter for them. They need to understand as they grow. Hey, not everybody really needs to be a close friend of mine, right? You think about Jesus. Jesus, he preached to thousands. He's used to crowds of thousands, yet he only had 12 disciples. And even amongst that 12, he had a close-knit inner circle of close-knit friends that he would confide in. So if Jesus didn't need, you know, 40, 50, 60 close-knit friends, man, you know, I certainly don't need to try to manufacture that in my life. Watch who you hang around. Watch who you allow to speak into your life. Watch who you allow to speak into your kids' lives. Now, that can be a literal thing, like a mentorship, something like that. And a lot of times, voices come to those small children in the form of TV, right? In the form of internet, in the form of Facebook, in the form of, you know, games and, you know, stuff online that you can find. I'm not saying all that's bad, But you need to watch what they're being exposed to, right? And so, like, so I, you know, right relationships. You need to watch out who you're allowing into your life and into your kids' life. Another scripture I'll share with you is Psalm 92:13. We share this scripture a lot around here because it's so good. And it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. You want to help set yourself up for success? You want to help set your kids up for success? Get them plugged in and planted into the house of God.
Yeah, that's a great way to set your kids up to have right relationships in their lives. You know, we're here all the time, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and our kids are here with us. They're back in class right now. They're back in kids ministry. And we teach them at home. We go through Bible stories with them at home, but they're exposed to it here. They have an amazing kids ministry, amazing teachers that are pouring into them. And last night, we just saw evidence of that with both of our kids. Everton, our little two-year-old, she was in the living room. Patrick and I were both in the kitchen. And we just hear her. She is singing the song as loud as she can. And she is doing moves and motions and dance moves.
No clue what she's singing.
And we could understand what she was saying. And I was like, Patrick, do you know the song? And he was like, I have no idea what she's singing. So I go to Google. Google's my answer. So I Googled what she was singing. And it popped up a kids' worship song. And then I found out it's actually a song they do in their class. And she was just having her own little worship moment, this little two-year-old, in the living room all by herself. And she's learned that because we have planted her in the house of God. And then Patrick, our little four-year-old, we were reading him bedtime stories last night, and I was going through his little toddler Bible. And every story, I would flip it, he'd be like, oh, that's Daniel, that's the lion. Oh, that's Jonah, he was swallowed by a whale. Oh, that's Noah, he built a boat. And I was like, my goodness, this kid knows all of these stories. But they're taught that in the back. They're taught that. And they are taught that because we bring them here, and they're planted. And so it's awesome to be planted in the house of God. That's where you're going to flourish.
They're going to flourish. And right now, they're 4 and 2, and one of the biggest voices in their lives is Ollie the owl. You guys seen Ollie back there? It's my motivation every Sunday morning. When they don't want to cooperate, I'm like, hey, Ollie's going to be there? Oh, well, shoot, I'll just get dressed right now. Not because Dad says so, because Ollie's going
to
be there, right?
And we have to take a weekly picture with Ollie. I get text messages every week from somebody that's like, Patrick told me I need to send this picture to you of him and Ollie. So we have tons of pictures.
I don't have any memory in my phone anymore for Ollie. No, yeah. They love Ollie, though. But so right relationships. And that's why we push connect groups, right? Because it's not just about plugged in and planted in the house of God, but not just to sit there and get information and just to be at church, but to be a part of church and to get connected with people and to get connected with the people, the men and women of God, the things of God. And so connect groups is a great outlet for that, to help find right relationships, help find people in the same season of life that you're in, maybe going through something that you're going through, maybe have the same interest as you. And so we've got connect groups coming up. Labor Day week, they kick off, and they'll go through most of the fall. And so when those start, I encourage you to find a connect group and get some good godly relationships for you and for your kids. Look for opportunities for them to get plugged in and into kids ministry, youth ministry, and different events that'll be happening in the coming fall. And so that's really the number one thing we want to talk about tonight is right relationships.
Yeah, so 4 principles for you to have a fight plan, to fight for your kids, fight for yourselves. 1, right relationships. 2, God-given design. You know, we have to teach our kids, and we have to remind ourselves, you know, and lead them through God-given design. So what that means is that everyone right now is living according to a set of beliefs. We're living based on a set of beliefs in our mind. Now, these set of beliefs, they can be shaped by our past, shaped by our mistakes, shaped by our problems, shaped by bad relationships. And that might be how we're living right now. We're not living through a God-given design, by a God-given design. But we're living by all of those thoughts that are shaping us, that aren't the plan that God has for us. And so right now, some of you may be in here and y'all might be living like that. You guys may be walking around and you're playing this part in this play, but what you're doing is you're playing it with a wrong script. Right now, you're playing a part in the play that you might have a script that you have developed based on people's opinions around you.
That's really good.
But God has a script for us already. He has given us a plan. He has a plan for your life. And so we need to live by His God-given design. So that's an amazing part of the church. We're here to help you figure out what God's plan for your life is. And I can promise you that God's plan for your life is better than the plan that you have for yourself.
Amen.
And, you know, the great thing, too, about knowing that God has a plan for your life and figuring out what that plan is that knowing God's purpose will silence those people's opinions. It won't matter anymore what they're saying about you and the negativity around you. It won't matter anymore, you know, the mistakes in your past, because you know that you have a purpose and that God has put you on this earth for this moment. You know, He's intentional. He is an intentional God, and He created you for right now. And in Acts 17, 26, it says, "From one man He made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land." So how do you know what your purpose is? Come to church and we'll help you. All of the answers are found when you seek God. Because the Bible says that when you seek Him, you will find Him. So when you seek Him, He will let you know what your plan is. He will let you know what you're created to do. And I can promise you, it is better than what you have in your head right now. So number one, right relationships. Number two, teach them and lead them, lead your kids and follow it yourself into God-given design.
That's really good, Tiffany. Number three is others first. And really, that's a mentality, an others first mentality, which is completely counterculture to the world we live in, right? It's all about me, me. And, you know, we're working on our parenting, but we're trying to get there. Even our Patrick, everything, I promise you, everything that comes on TV, what does he say?
I want that one.
I want that. He thinks every commercial, that everything that's advertised, it's for his birthday, right? He's like, I want that for my birthday. And so we're gonna get that out of him, right? Ollie's gonna get that out of him. But really, you know, culture says though, right? It's me, it's mine. I'm owed it. I'm deserved it. You know, I deserve that. And you know, the selfie generation, right? It's not. I'm not taking pictures of other people. I'm taking a picture of me, right? And the selfie generation. Nothing wrong with selfies. But that you get my point. And so in Philippians, I love in Philippians, it says this. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." It's a crazy thought in this world to prefer someone else over yourself, to lay down your own, you know, your own wants, your own thoughts of how the best way to go about doing something, where it's going to benefit you the most, than let it benefit somebody more than you or before you, right? It's so countercultural, but that is the mentality that God wants us to have. And so if we don't have that, our kids aren't going to have that, right? If it's all about me, me, me all the time, I know what our kids are going to be like, right? Me, 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 all the time. And so if we can constantly show our kids, hey, look, it's not all about you. It's not all about you all of the time. I saw a great example of this. Lana Vasquez, again, she was here this past Sunday, had the great privilege to go see her and the team over in Thailand at the beginning of the year. And the river, some River City missionaries that went over there, moved over there, they're from Owensboro, Ryan and Layla Thompson. And we love Ryan and Layla. And I think it was Declan or Bellamy, one of their little boys, maybe both of their two oldest little boys, they were around us pretty much the whole time we were there. And every time they would want you to listen to them or pay attention to them, because, you know, you're talking with people, you're meeting people just about around every corner. And every time those kids would want to get my attention, they'd come up and they'd like rub my forearm like this. They wouldn't shout, they wouldn't kick, they wouldn't scream, they wouldn't make a fuss. They'd just come up and just be like, hey, you know, just whenever you're ready and whenever you look at me, I'm going to talk to you. Now, sometimes it'd be interesting because I would kind of notice something was there, and then I'd keep talking. Then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, my goodness, he's been there for 20 minutes. But he was always like super calm and super chill and super patient and just sitting waiting his turn to talk. And it always, you know, might have been just like, hey, can I sit next to you? You know, and he waited 20 minutes to ask me that, you know, so he could sit next to me. But and so I thought, man, that is so great, because I saw how calm and chill that kid was. And so I started doing that with Patrick, and Patrick thinks it's funny, you know. But I thought, what a great small but good example to show our kids, hey, look, it's not all about you. You may want something right now, but I'm engaged in an awesome conversation with my friend Rob here, and I'm not going to break this conversation. I want to teach my kid. One, I want to teach Rob. I want to show Rob and express to Rob, hey, I value our conversation because we're adults. But I need to express my kid, hey, look, I care about you. I want to talk to you, but it's not your turn to talk right now because I'm talking with Mr. Rob over here, right? And so just little, Rob wants to clap for that because he wants me to talk to Rob. He's like, yeah, talk to me. But just a small example right there about letting our kids know and showing, hey, look, we're having an others first mentality. And so, if you make life all about you, if it's only all about you, always about you, man, you're going to be miserable because people don't want to be around somebody where it's, man, it's all about you all the time. And man, I don't know if I want to hang around that, right? But if you learn to have an others first mentality, you'll find fulfillment. You'll find joy. You'll find everything that God has for you because, man, Christ didn't die for himself. He died for the world, right? He came so that everyone else might benefit. If we'd have a let's help everyone else kind of benefit, kind of an attitude, man, then we'd be more like Christ and we'd have more fulfillment, more joy, having others first mentality. A simple way to express that in the church is through serving. Through serving, finding a serve team, finding a place to get plugged in, planted, so you can help others find the Jesus that you know, right? That's what serving does. All the serve teams that you see on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday morning, they're helping prepare and to set the atmosphere so that other people that don't know Jesus can come to know the same Jesus that you know, right? And so serving, getting plugged in, getting planted in the church, and showing that and expressing that to our kids. Hey, let's serve others. Let's have an others first mentality.
Yeah, so talking about fight plan to help you win and to help you walk in that victory, having right relationships, number one, living out your God-given design, putting others first, having that mentality, and then finally the last thing is something that we can model. It's one of the most important things that we can model, and that's having authentic faith. And what that implies is that there's inauthentic faith, and there is, because Jesus speaks about it in Matthew 15:8. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So he's saying that, you know, sometimes we can get stuck in, and maybe you're living like this right now, maybe you're stuck in going through the motions. Maybe you were raised and you followed the teachings, but you didn't know the person behind the teachings. And so I just want to encourage you to seek God and seek his face rather than just his teachings. And instead of just going through the motions, know why you're going through the motions. Have those authentic faith. Have that genuine love for God because it shows. People see it around you. Your kids will see it. If you're a teacher, your students will see it. And so I just encourage you in that tonight because, you know, he's not far from us. He wants to know us. And we're not going to do everything perfectly. And that's okay. He knows that. We're not going to do it perfectly. So we just need to model to our kids and model to the people around us that we genuinely love God. We love his people. We love his church. And so let's just live a life of authentic faith by seeking God out in prayer and by reading the Bible and through his scripture and through his word. And people will be drawn by that. People will be drawn to the God that we serve by our authenticity.
That's really good. And a scripture, I'll piggyback with that, that came to my mind is, live in such a way that you let your light shine or let your light shine so that men around you would see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so, you know, we do. We want to live an authentic faith where if we go to school, if we're at work, if we're in the marketplace, anywhere we go, everywhere we go, how we live and how we conduct ourselves, the world would take notice. Our kids would take notice. And the world and our kids and the people around us, they'll give God the glory and give him the praise and the honor. Amen? Amen? Is that a good fight plan? You guys ready to charge through that wall? Like Lana? Lana would make you charge through that wall, wouldn't she? Let's do this. As we close tonight, let's pray. And let's ask God to help us do all of those things. Do all of those things. Set the right example. For if it's just for us, to help us have a better life as we draw closer to God. But more importantly, so we can set a great example for our young ones. And we can declare, as one generation declares to the next, the wonderful works of the Lord. We're gonna help raise up a wonderful, powerful, mighty generation Amen? Amen. I'm excited about that. Let's pray. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for that very thing. I thank you, Lord, that you'd help us. All the adults in here right now, if we're parents, if we're not parents, maybe we're parenting ourselves, whatever it is, whatever season of life we're in. I thank you, Lord, that you'd help us be good examples to ourselves, good examples to those kids, and all of the things we talked about tonight in that fight plan. I thank you, Lord, we'd have an others first mentality. I thank you, Lord, we'd have an authentic faith. I thank you, Lord, we would know your design and plan for our life. I thank you, Father God, we would have right relationships around us. And I thank you, Lord, our kids in turn would want to model those things and emulate those things in their own lives. I just pray, Lord, right now over our kids. I know we're going to do that, pray over them individually this Sunday. But right now, I just lift up our young people. I thank you, Lord, it's a mighty generation, a godly generation, a bold generation. And I thank you, Lord, as they start this new school year, I thank you, Lord, they do it with boldness, they do it with gladness, they do it with excitement, because being around you, Father, it's exciting, it's energizing, it's uplifting. And I thank you, Lord, that they're uplifted, that they don't find their source of worth, their sense of worth from the school. They don't find it from anywhere but you. And I thank you, Lord, it's just reinforced when they come to your house here at the church. I thank you, Lord, it's reinforced when they go home with mom or dad or whoever's parenting them. I thank you, Father God, that we've got a mighty generation raised up and just ready to run the race. Run the race with all diligence. Run the race with joy and excitement, declaring the wonderful works of the Lord to the generation to follow them and the generation to follow them. I thank you, Lord, that this is not just a one-stop shop for you, but I thank you, Lord, we get to do our part and pass that baton so it continues to go on and on and on, so our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids would know that you're a good God and that you love them and that you're for them and you've got good things in store for them. And so I thank you, Father, that our kids, they would learn that and know that and be instilled in that each and every time they walk through the doors here of the church. And I thank you, Lord, again. I lift up the school year. I thank you, Lord. It's the best school year they've ever had. It's the most influential school year they've ever had. I thank you, Lord, our kids, just like Jesus at the temple courts, I thank you, Lord, our kids are changing their school systems from the inside out. I thank you, Lord, that they don't need policies, but that all they need is Jesus. And they could go in and just talk about Jesus, show Jesus, let their light shine, and men around, the schools around, the community around, they would take notice and they would take heed and they would give you the glory and the praise and the honor. I thank you, Lord, our kids are leaders in our schools. I thank you, Lord, our kids are protected in those schools. I say, Lord, bullies are far from them. I say, Lord, accidents, acts of violence, they're far from our kids. I thank you, Lord, you protect our schools, protect our kids, protect our teachers, protect everybody associated with the school, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that this is the best school year they've ever had. This is the best year they've ever had in you. And I thank you, Lord, that they would grow in you. They would lead their friends to come to know you. They would lead family members to come to know you, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, just for a mighty, mighty generation of young people, young boys, young girls, growing up to be young men and young women, leaders in our community, leaders in industry. And I thank you, Father God, you'd send them forth to help spread the gospel and to help build the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, for our young people. Bless them now, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for all these things in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Amen.